Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, March 20, 2024, 2 Corinthians.
All right. Somewhere in here is the wiener. Now, I've kind of glanced through who you had winning the national championship. Sherry Bingham from Montana. Has Montana State winning the national championship? Did they win tonight? Well, it would help if they won the play-in game, you know. Where's your bracket? Well, if you show up once in a while. I didn't see if anybody had Wagner. They'll have to play Purdue next. But nobody picked UNLV to win the NC2A championship. That's good because they're in the NIT. The one who is in charge of all this to make sure that the right numbers are put down is me. So you're in trouble. My brother, who is going to fly down, my brother Don, who I love that guy so much. He is not only a believer in Jesus Christ, he's a winner believer in Jesus Christ. And at Wazoo, I was an English major, and he was at Wazoo, and he was a math major and computer expert. And I would have him come over and help me with my math from time to time. And he would come over, and I'd help him with subject, verb, direct object, indirect object. But he's not feeling real well, so he canceled the trip coming down. He was the one who was going to make sure I got all the numbers right. Now, you know what you picked. I will go over it and over it and over it. I think I have a team that will never win. That way you can't accuse me of cheating on the ballot, see. But I have a lot of fun doing this, and I hope you all have a lot of fun as well. I'll try to keep you up to date. Before we start classes, like who's in first, I'll also let you know who's in last. And we can all go, yeah. So, hope you all have a lot of fun watching basketball and March Madness. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that's proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's Word. And therefore, open the Word of God to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we are studying one of the most important doctrines for us, royal family of God. And that is, we are all going to be evaluated by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, face to face in a resurrection body, we will all be evaluated by Him. And so this is one of the most important doctrines you can know inside and out, the doctrine of the judgment seat of Christ. In preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank You, sir, for Your infinite and Your matchless grace. And we thank You, Heavenly Father, that even though we are witnessing the United States of America in apostasy and degeneracy, even though we are witnessing the whole world in living and carrying out the policies of the ruler of this world, Satan himself, we thank You, Heavenly Father, that Jesus Christ controls history. And we thank You, Heavenly Father, for that unique spiritual life You've given to us. And we thank You, sir, that as we fulfill Your plan, will, and purpose for our life, as we grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, that we can have virtue, love brought to completion in our hearts, that we can love You, sir, have impersonal love for all, have occupation with Jesus Christ, and therefore share the happiness of God no matter what's going on in the world. So as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Your Word to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting the corrected translation at verse 6. Therefore, we. Now, every time you see the word we is connected with confidence. The believer that has confidence is the winner believer. The believer that has confidence is the one who has been making good decisions. Now, we all have a free will. God gave us all volition. You can make good decisions or bad decisions. It's all up to you. I can't make anyone make good decisions. I wouldn't even try. I can tell you what the Word of God says, and then you, from your own free will, can choose to believe it, make good decisions to live the spiritual life, or you can say, Pastor Olson, I think you're full of hooey, and I don't believe it. You're free to do that. You're free to live in Satan's cosmic system. You're free to live the spiritual life. But you're going to stand before Jesus Christ. Every one of you, we will stand before Jesus Christ and be evaluated by Him, not by me. You won't be evaluated by me. You'll be evaluated by Him. He has all the facts. He is absolute righteousness and perfect justice. He's infinite virtue, infinite integrity, infinite honor, and He will be infinitely fair with each one of us. But if you have failed to make good decisions, to live the spiritual life, If you have made bad decisions to live in Satan's cosmic system, well, you will stand before Jesus Christ in shame. Shame, great soul pain, and regrets. You'll stand there with regrets. But if you make good decisions to have positive volition and humility, to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, to reach spiritual maturity, have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, then you will stand before Jesus Christ with great confidence. Confidence. The winner believer stands before Christ with confidence. The loser believer stands before Christ in shame. But we will all stand before Jesus Christ. Now we have here, therefore we always have confidence. And that's the winner believer. Confidence. And know that while we are at home in the house of the human body, we are out of the house of the, well, first of all, interim body, and then at the rapture, resurrection body, away from the Lord. For we, winner believers, walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident. We, winner believers, are confident, courageous, I say, and for a far better reason, we prefer to be out of the house, out of the body, human body, and in the house, face to face with the Lord, that is in our interim body and eventually resurrection body. For this reason also, we keep on having as our goal. We keep on considering it an honor, whether in the house of our human body, phase two, or out of the house of our human body, phase three, in our interim body or resurrection body, to be pleasing to Him, to be pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ. For, here's the reason. Verse 10, for we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ for the purpose that each one may receive his just due for the things while living in the body in accordance with those things that he has done. Whether agathos, intrinsically good, or phallos, worthless. Well, this has brought us to the wonderful doctrine of the judgment seat of Christ. And we have studied the first 7 points of the judgment seat of Christ. Point one was definition and description. And we noted that the judgment seat of Christ will be a time of evaluation. Evaluation of every church age believer. It will not be a time of condemnation. Salvation is not the issue at the judgment seat of Christ. One's eternal destiny will not be determined at the judgment seat of Christ. In fact, sins will not be the issue at the judgment seat of Christ, because all of our sins were paid for in full by Jesus Christ on the cross. And therefore, the law of double jeopardy, they will never be brought up again. The judgment seat of Christ, then, is an evaluation. An evaluation of the church age believer's life after salvation. From that point of faith in Christ, salvation, to physical death or the rapture, whichever occurs first. God has a phenomenal grace plan for your life after salvation. That grace plan includes the grace provision of the unique spiritual life of the church age, which is a supernatural way of life, and therefore it can only be lived by the grace and by the power of God. And that means the power of the Spirit of God. Ephesians 5:18, the mandate, keep on being empowered by the Spirit. Galatians 5:16, keep on walking by the Spirit. And then the power of the Word of God in your heart. The mandate of 2 Peter 3:18, grow up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If we utilize God's grace and God's power to live this unique spiritual life that He has for us, then our life, lived in the body, is said to be agathos in 2 Corinthians 5:10, intrinsically good. However, if we fail to live the spiritual life, but live our life by the energy of the flesh, the sin nature, cosmic living in Satan's cosmic system, then our life lived in the body is said to be, in 2 Corinthians 5:10, phallos, worthless. The judgment seat of Christ, therefore, is an evaluation of the church age believer's life after salvation to determine whether we will receive crowns and rewards, greater grace blessings for eternity, or suffer the loss of these greater grace blessings for eternity. So, evaluation, not salvation, is the issue at the judgment seat of Christ. The winner believer will be rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ. However, the cosmic believer, the loser believer, will suffer shame, regrets, and will lose his greater grace blessings. But he will never lose his salvation. Point two, the judgment seat of Christ means there is no equality in heaven among believers. For God, in His grace, has provided great spiritual freedom. He has given us great spiritual freedom with equal privileges and equal opportunities, so that there is no excuse for any believer failing to execute God's plan for his life. This freedom to exercise your options and make decisions to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills and grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, that is your responsibility. Your responsibility as a believer. And the greater the freedom, and you've been given the greatest spiritual freedom, the greater the inequality. Freedom equals inequality. And therefore, at the judgment seat of Christ, the first issue you will face in your resurrection body is how you used the spiritual freedom God gave you. Point three, we noted the time of the judgment seat of Christ. First, the rapture must take place, terminating the dispensation of the church age and providing every church age believer with a resurrection body. When we are at the judgment seat of Christ, we will be there in our resurrection body. However, the judgment seat of Christ does not immediately follow the rapture. The first thing that happens after the rapture is an unprecedented worship of Christ, described in Philippians 2:9 through 11. And we call this unprecedented worship of Christ the big genuflex in the sky. So the rapture will be immediately followed by the great genuflex in the sky, and then we have the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ takes place in heaven. And while the judgment seat of Christ is going on in heaven, we're being evaluated, the tribulation is taking place on planet Earth. And then we return with Christ as His bride at His second advent to begin His millennial reign. Point four, the purpose of the judgment seat of Christ is our passage, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. And that is the evaluation of the believer's performance in the plan of God during his time on earth. If the believer lives his life in the cosmic system, it is declared to be phallos, worthless. He has failed to live the unique spiritual life of the church age. He has failed to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has failed to attain spiritual maturity. He has failed to have virtue love brought to completion in his heart, the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. If the believer lives the spiritual life and advances to spiritual maturity, 2 Corinthians 5:10 says he is agathos, intrinsically good. The winner believer will receive crowns and rewards above and beyond the resurrection body. However, the loser believer is the one who loses out on these decorations and rewards. So the issue is this, that your life for all eternity is now in the making. Point five. The application of this fantastic doctrine of the judgment seat of Christ is for you to manifest virtue, to manifest impersonal love for all mankind. The application of knowing this doctrine is that you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. Personal love for God the Father, the great motivating virtue that motivates impersonal love for all mankind. And when you have impersonal love for all, that means no judging, no slandering, no maligning others. And that's Romans chapter 14, verses 10 to 13. You have no right to judge others. And when you do get into judging, slandering, maligning others, you come under triple compound discipline from God. The worst. Matthew 7, 1 and 2. You have no right to judge others. That is the prerogative of Jesus Christ. And He will do so. He will evaluate all of us at the judgment seat of Christ. And point six, winner believers will be rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ. Revelation 22, verse 12. And point seven, winner believers will have great confidence at the judgment seat of Christ. 1 John 3:21, beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us as a result of living the spiritual life, we keep on having confidence before God at the judgment seat of Christ. 1 John 4:17. By this, living the spiritual life, virtue love has been brought to completion in our hearts for the purpose that we might have confidence on the day of evaluation, the judgment seat of Christ. Because just as He is the Lord Jesus Christ living the spiritual life, so also we are like Him living the spiritual life in this world. Consistently and faithfully living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, advancing to spiritual maturity, having virtue love brought to completion in our hearts produces confidence. Confidence as we stand before our Lord at His judgment seat. That brings us to point eight. Losers are ashamed at the judgment seat of Christ. Losers are ashamed at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, shame is defined as painful feeling originating from the soul because of something dishonorable or wrong or sinful or something that causes terrible regret. It is embarrassment regarding failure to fulfill God's plan under the principle of equal opportunity to do so. This shame, this regret and soul pain is a temporary shame because there is no sorrow in the eternal state. Now, there are five passages that describe the shame of the loser believer at the judgment seat of Christ. So, take a look at these five passages. Passage number one, turn over to Philippians 3. Philippians 3, 18 and 19. And every faithful communicator of the Word of God, this is how he thinks. This is what goes on in his heart. You know, when you have the gift of pastor teacher, you prepare for the ministry and you study and teach and you teach grace and you teach truth. You give the gospel. You see people believe in Christ as their Savior. You see them respond and assemble and with positive volition and humility. You see them starting out and growing up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. And then something goes on. They react. They react. They peel off. And by the way, that's the first stage of reversionism. The first stage of reversionism is reaction stage. You react. Something just hits you. Oh! And the next thing you know, they peel off. They're gone. And they make bad decision after bad decision after bad decision. And I've seen that in the 500 years I've been here as pastor. It breaks my heart too. I know these people. I've fed them the Word of God, grace and truth. I've seen them when they were living the spiritual life and it was fantastic. And it breaks my heart when I see them peel off. And there are some that have peeled off. They didn't like what I taught about reversionism. They thought that was all hooey. And then they came back months and months and months later, maybe it was years later, came right up here. Pastor Olson, I just want you to know, you were 100% right on reversionism. I said, well, there's the easy way to learn by just listening and believing it. And there's the hard way to learn. You reject it, and then God just beats the crap out of you while you're out there. That's what God did. He beat the crap out of me. I said, well, I bet it's a lot of crap. Well, this is what is going through the Apostle. And the Apostle Paul is not one of these people you see on TV that are crybabies on TV. The Apostle Paul was the greatest man, manly man. But he's crying here. For as I, verse 18, for as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, he is a man. And he is weeping. And now say again, even with tears, many, many believers, many here, or many, he knows these many. Many of them live as enemies of the cross of Christ. They're losers. At one time, they believed in Christ. They were positive at one point. And now, through bad decision after bad decision after bad decision, they have made themselves enemies of the cross of Christ. And their destiny is destruction, the sin unto death. Their God is their emotions, and their glory is to their shame at the judgment seat of Christ. For their mind is on earthly things. They are totally preoccupied with earthly things. Now Paul is weeping here. Paul was weeping from frustration because of the negative volition of believers that he's known very well. He is weeping from frustration because of the negative volition of believers who now could care less about the Word of God. They could care less what God's Word has to say. They could care less what the Apostle Paul was teaching. Even though the Apostle Paul continued to teach the grace and truth of the Word of God faithfully and accurately, there never was a communicator of the Word of God or a believer like the Apostle Paul. And here are these believers, never appreciated the greatest Bible teacher of all time. In negative volition, they didn't care what he taught. They didn't care what the Word of God had to say. They have not been consistent and faithful in the assembling and metabolizing of God's Word. Verse 18, all loser believers come under the title enemies of the cross. In verse 19, they die the sin unto death. By the way, we'll be studying that in our Thursday night class. When we get to chapter 5, they die the sin unto death. And this is the eschatology of every loser believer in the church age. Christian losers are believers who fail to grow up in the grace and knowledge of their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. They have equal opportunity to do so, but they are the product of their own bad decisions. They have nobody else to blame but themselves. And these loser believers have no glory. No blessing will be given to them at the judgment seat of Christ. Only shame. Philippians 3, verse 19. On earth, well, they had only wrong priorities and wrong scale of values. Now, Christian losers are described throughout the New Testament. There are seven categories in the New Testament that describe Christian losers. First of all, he is described as a believer who has drifted off course from grace. That's Galatians 5, verse 4. He's drifted off course from grace. Secondly, he is described as the believer who falls short of the grace of God. Hebrews 12:15. Believer who falls short of the grace of God. Hebrews 12:15. Three, he's described as the lukewarm believer. In Revelation 3:15 and 16, and there Jesus Christ says, I wish you were hot or cold. If you're cold, you're an unbeliever. All you have to do is believe in Christ. But if you're hot, you're a winter believer. If you're lukewarm, you're a reversionistic believer, and I will vomit you, spit you out of my mouth, sin unto death. So they are the lukewarm believer. Fourth, in 1 Timothy 1:19, they are described as the shipwrecked believer. The shipwrecked believer, 1 Timothy 1:19. Five, in James 1, verse 8, they are described as the Dysukos believer. D-I-P-S-U-C-H-O-S. Two-souled. Like having two different people inside. They are split-souled. Probably the best way to translate that. The split-soul believer. The Dysukos believer. Six, they are described in James 1, 22 to 24 as the believer who here's the teaching of the Word of God, but doesn't believe it. There's no metabolization of doctrine. There's gnosis, but no epinosis. James 1, 22 to 24. And seven, our verse, Philippians 3:18, he is the believer who is called the enemy of the cross. He has made himself the enemy of the cross by his own bad decisions. Passage number two that describes the shame of loser believers is Romans 5:5. Romans 5:5 says, and the confidence of the winner believer does not make us ashamed at the judgment seat of Christ. The winner believer has great confidence at the judgment seat of Christ, and the winner believer will have no shame at the judgment seat of Christ. Passage number three, Philippians 1:20. Philippians 1:20. According to my earnest expectation and hope, hope three, that I shall not be put to shame at the judgment seat of Christ. But with all confidence, Christ shall even now, phase two, living in time, as always before the judgment seat of Christ in a resurrection body, be glorified in my body, whether by life or by death. The fourth passage, 2 Timothy 2:15. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to present yourself approved unto God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed at the judgment seat of Christ, rightly dividing the word of truth. And passage number 5, 1 John 2:28. And now, dear children, royal family of God, keep on abiding in Him, living the spiritual life, for the purpose that when He appears, the rapture, we might have confidence and might not be put to shame by Him, Jesus Christ, at His coming, in His presence, at the judgment seat of Christ. That brings us to point 9. Point 9, loss of reward. Loser believers will lose out on no greater grace blessings at the judgment seat of Christ. But loss of reward of these greater grace blessings at the judgment seat of Christ does not mean they've lost their salvation. Loss of reward at the judgment seat of Christ does not mean loss of salvation. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 3. Great passage. 1 Corinthians 3:1. Love to teach this passage. I went to several conferences and he would get to a point in the conference and come out and stand to the side. I have a hard time walking. He'd come to the side to make sure that he could look at everybody. And then he'd read this passage. Then he would explain this. And he says, this is how some of you are going to go into heaven and be at the judgment seat of Christ. You're gonna be saved. Some of you are going to be saved, but you're going to get there as if through fire. Your hair burned off, eyebrows gone, all the hair burned out of your nose. But you'll be there. You can't lose your salvation. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, precious stones, that's the winner believer. That's the believer who attains spiritual maturity. That's the believer who has virtue, love brought to completion in his heart. And then we have wood, hay, or straw. That's the loser believer. That's the believer who has been living in Satan's cosmic system. His work, his production, will be shown for what it is. Because the day, the judgment seat of Christ, will bring it to light. And it will be revealed with fire. And the fire will test the quality of each man's production. If what he has built survives, fire doesn't affect gold, silver, or precious stones. No, that's the winner believer. But wood, hay, and straw burns up. And I'll tell you right now, most believers today at the judgment seat of Christ, there will be the greatest bonfire. Well, I understand that. Jason Gordon was here. He was my third son. And he went to Texas A&M. And I look, he's in the Upland Bible Church, March Madness. He went to Texas A&M, and he has Texas A&M winning the national championship. Which shows that he is a true Aggie. A lot of piss and vinegar, but not a lot of brains, see. And at a Texas A&M football game, they would build a great bonfire before the Texas A&M football game. Well, that is what many, many believers today at the judgment seat of Christ, all you're going to have there is a huge bonfire. Your hay, wood, and straw burned up because of life of bad decisions living in the cosmic system. No gold, silver, and precious stones. No spiritual life. No virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. So we have here. His work will be shown for what it is, because the day, the judgment seat of Christ, will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire. And the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives divine good production, the winner believer, gold, silver, precious stones, he will receive his reward, crowns and rewards. However, if it's burned up, wood, hay, and straw of the loser believer, he will suffer loss, no crowns and rewards. However, he himself will be saved. He will be saved. He won't lose his salvation, but I love what God the Holy Spirit put down here. He'll be saved, all right. He won't lose his salvation, but only as one escaping through the flames. And I can still hear the colonel talking about a pilot that got shot down in battle. The plane came down, went through the trees, ripped off the wings, ripped off the tail, ripped off everything except him in his cockpit. Flames, it was on fire, flames. He got out. He got out smoking. The plane was totally destroyed. He had charred all over, black ashes on his face and hair burned. And he says, and then he'd look out at the people at the conference, say, "That's how some of you are going to be and get into heaven. Just like that. You're saved, all right. You're saved, but only as one escaping through the flames." So, one, loss of reward and blessing is determined by your own free will. Your own free will. You can't blame it on Pastor Olson. Can't blame it on your mother or your father. On your own free will. There is great inequality in heaven based on the function of your free will and time. Two, bad decisions from living in the cosmic system produce the wood, hay, and straw which is burned up. Bad decisions from living in the cosmic system produces the wood, hay, and straw which is burned up. Three, good decisions to live the spiritual life produces the gold, silver, and precious stones, which is rewarded. Good decisions to live the spiritual life produces the gold, silver, and precious stones, which is rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ. However, sad to say, but multitudes and multitudes of sincere Christians will have a big bonfire at the judgment seat of Christ. Four, even though you can lose reward, you cannot lose your salvation. Verse 15. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. Loss of crowns and rewards. But he himself will be saved. But only as one escaping through the flames. Turn over to 2 Timothy 2. Second Timothy 2, verse 11. Faithful is the word. If we died with him, retroactive positional truth, and we have, we will also live with him, current positional truth. Verse 12. If we endure suffering for blessing, winner believers, only winner believers receive suffering for blessing. If we endure suffering for blessing as a winner believer, we will also reign with him, reign with Christ as a spiritually mature believer in the millennium. If we deny him, he will also deny us crowns and rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. If we are faithless, and I know people that at one time they responded to the grace gospel and they believed in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation. They're saved. As soon as they believed in Christ, God instantly imputed his righteousness to them, established a grace pipeline, justice on one end, imputed righteousness on the other, and instantly down that grace pipeline came 40 salvation blessings right then and there, right at that moment of salvation. And then somewhere they went to college, they got into every kind of evil you can get involved in, and they listened to their psychology teachers and sociology teachers, and they said, well, I don't believe in God anymore. I don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior. I reject all that. Well, whether you do that or not, because at that moment, when you one time when you responded and believed in Christ, you have eternal salvation. So here's the person that after that comes to the point of reversionism. I don't even believe in this God stuff anymore. I don't believe what the Bible has to say. I don't believe in Jesus Christ. If we are faithless, He, God, will remain faithful. For He cannot disown Himself. He is absolute righteousness and perfect justice. And what happened the second you believed in Christ? God gave you His righteousness. Established a grace pipeline, and you are encapsulated by the integrity of God. And that means no matter whether you somewhere down the road after that say, I don't believe in God, I don't believe in the Bible, God is infinite integrity, infinite virtue, infinitely fair with all of His creation. He is absolute righteousness and perfect justice, and because of that, because you're encapsulated by His integrity, you have eternal security. So point five. While eternal security is permanent, confidence in God is temporary, depending on you living the unique spiritual life of the church age. While eternal security is permanent, confidence in God is temporary, depending on you living the unique spiritual life of the church age. Confidence in God can be gained or lost, but not so with eternal security. Confidence in God is the result of living the spiritual life and having virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. Confidence in God is because you have personal love for God the Father, which motivates impersonal love for all. You have occupation with Jesus Christ. He's made Himself at home in your heart. You share the happiness of God, and that all means confidence in God. Confidence in God, confidence in the Word of God. That's the winner believer. The winner believer has maximum confidence in God, maximum confidence in the Word of God. Eternal security is something God does for us. Eternal security depends on the integrity of God, while confidence in God depends on the integrity of the believer. Virtue, love. Personal love for the Father, impersonal love for all, occupation with Jesus Christ. So at salvation, the justice of God imputes to us the righteousness of God. We are encapsulated by the integrity of God. And being encapsulated by the integrity of God means we have eternal security. Point six. Confidence in God can be lost by the believer living in Satan's cosmic system. Confidence in God can be lost by the believer living in Satan's cosmic system. Seven. But eternal security is permanent, no matter what the believer does. Confidence in God can be lost by the believer living in Satan's cosmic system, but eternal security is permanent, no matter what the believer does. Turn over to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, the Lord, starting in verse 27, the Lord Jesus Christ is holding Bible class. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Excuse me, are one. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1. And we'll close with this. Tonight. I think this is 3 weeks on the doctrine of the judgment seat of Christ. And we've only gone through 9 points. And there are 45. No, there are. First Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Praise be to thee, God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, grace in action, He has given us a new birth, spiritual birth, into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. to obtain an inheritance that can never perish, never spoil, never fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the deliverance that is ready to be revealed in the last time. All right. We'll start next week at point 10. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.